Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you that we have another opportunity to hear your word preached. I pray you'd help me to preach and help all of us to hear, not just my voice, but the voice of Christ and the voice of your Spirit speaking to us. Help us to understand your word and apply it to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Three passages of scripture tonight, all from Proverbs about friendship. Proverbs 17:17, and these are all in your notes as well. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24, and then Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I had in your bulletin, I don't know if you noticed it this morning, a little cartoon. There's two peeps, and they look like they're enjoying some kind of drink, maybe at coffees. And it says, without you, I'd go off the peep end. And underneath it says, what is a friend? A single soul dwelling in two bodies. That was a quote from Aristotle. And a single soul dwelling in two bodies. Maybe that's where they get the idea of us. But tonight we're continuing what I started a couple Sunday mornings ago. I had a sermon on Christian friendship, and based on John. And in the evening I had planned to preach on Christian friendship continued, and that's what we have here. Starting with number one, Christ-like friendship. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. How can we be Christ-like in our friendship? Well, one is service. When we serve one another, when we do things for each other, it says, John 13:14-15, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. This is how we show Christ-like friendship. Christ did it himself. He washed his disciples' feet. And he says, do the same for one another. And I don't think he's talking only about washing feet, but he's talking about whatever we do for each other, that is humble service, that is that kind of thing that maybe we wouldn't do for everyone, but we do it for our friends. We do it for those who are our Christian brothers and sisters. Secondly, self-sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, self-sacrifice in the case of our Lord Jesus was his death on the cross. It was what he suffered. I think self-sacrifice is not always physical death. That's the highest form of it. But we self-sacrifice whenever we give up our time and we give ourselves to somebody else. We are self-sacrificing whenever we give up anything. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters also will be watered himself. Proverbs 22:9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And so when we sacrifice our material things for another person's need, God sees that, and he will bless us. And only he should see it, because it says in Matthew 6, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And so we do these kind of things quietly. We don't make a big deal out of it. If we do make a big deal out of it, we're getting our reward from the people who admire us. for it. The politicians, if they do something great, they always have to show it off. And we're not to be like that. Love is an essential ingredient to Christian friendship. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. Always, of course, a friend loves you when he's sharing your blessings. When everything's going right for you, you will have lots of friends. But when adversity comes along, and here it says a friend loves at all times, which means in good times and in bad times, in adversity, when you really need a friend, in those times, your true friends show up. They are there in powerful ways. I know for sure for myself, at the worst time in my life, which wasn't ever at my time here at First Pres or Word of Life Church, it was before that, I had some people in my life that I thought were friends, but they turned out to be like sharks for blood, and they weren't friends at all. But then I had other people who I didn't know were such good friends, and they were like bright double suns. They were there for me when I needed the most. And it's funny, sometimes the people you think, well, they're our closest friends, are maybe not. And then those you might not think that they are, but you go through some time of trouble, and they're there for you. And they're definitely not against you. How we cannot and can be like Christ. We cannot be like Christ, who is now in heaven, or as he has always been, as God. It's interesting, Hebrews 7 talks about, you know, we have a friend in Jesus. The song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. And there's nobody else that can be like Jesus. And why is that? Well, Hebrews 7 tells us some of that. It says, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, therefore is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Jesus is a friend who continues forever. Now he is God in heaven. He's not limited into one space or one time. He can hear all of us praying at the same time. And he lives forever to make intercession for us. And we can't be that for each other. There will be times when your best friend, when you need them, they can't be there for you because maybe they're sick. Maybe they have a difficulty. Maybe they passed away. We are like that. We're limited. Jesus is eternal. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He can hear every prayer. He's omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing, and he knows our every need. Nobody else can know that, even your closest friend cannot know everything that Jesus does. And so we cannot be every way like Jesus is. One thing, we can't be the same to every person because we are limited people. We have limited time. We can be like Christ, though, who was our example on earth. Jesus had 12 disciples, only 12, but only 12 apostles. And there were three of them to whom he was particularly close. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to a high mountain, also at Gethsemane. He takes three of them with them, Peter, James, and John. And these were his closest, you could say, friends on earth. He had female friends, Mary Magdalene, and he had Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and they were friends like this, and his 12, I'm sure, were all close to him, except for Judas, and then he had the disciples. They were friends too, but some of them were more learners, and whoever we are, on earth, we have limited time, limited resources. We are not omnipresent. And so we may have spouses, somebody we're married to, family, close friends, friends, acquaintance, and even, sadly, we have enemies. And in some sense, we're supposed to love them all. We love our enemies differently than we love our friends because they don't love us back. Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." And so in one sense, we love all. In another sense, we love those who are closest to us because they're the ones we have the most, we're able to give the most to. And we should all have friends like that. Secondly, true friendship should be reciprocated. And then I have a but next to that. A man who has friends must show himself, himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If someone is good and kind and generous to you, as much as you are able, you should be a friend back to that person. Always do for the one who does for you. Reciprocation does not have to be equal with friends. It doesn't. It's good if it is, but true friends are not counting. I gave you two of these days, and you haven't given me one. You know, that we don't count like that. This is never the case with Christ. He has given us more than we could ever give him back. We are to reciprocate his friendship, but we can't give him everything he gave us. Jesus wants us to cultivate friendships ourselves where we expect no return. He says this many times in Scripture. He says, if you do good, this is from Luke, if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners who receive much back. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Let love one another. Yet, it should be yet love one another is the command to Christians. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We are loving Christ when we love the least of his brethren. Jesus divides in Matthew 25, 31 through 40, the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he puts are on his right hand and the goats are on his left hand. And a long time ago, I remember when I first became a preacher here, I preached on this, or at least read this passage, and almost everybody was sitting on the right hand of me. And nobody was sitting on the left, which was good for this particular message. And so he separates them. But what does he do? He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, and as much as you did this to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." Not to the greatest of all time. Not baptized babies. They were the people who seem like Christ's sheep, but are not. The cursed, the second part of this. Basically, what they did is they did not do these things to the people around them that needed help. And it says here at the end, assuredly I say, as much as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so we're to be friends of those who sometimes are hard to be friends with. And Christ will reward us for that. Jesus will remember and reward even the smallest things that we do. I think this is a wonderful verse when you think of it. Mark 9:41, he says, for whoever gives a cup of cold water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And so what's that saying is the littlest thing we do for a Christian friend, for somebody in need, Christ will not be unrighteous to forget that. He will remember every little thing we do. And we might do some things that we think are very, very small to help somebody. But God does not count them small. He will reward us in great ways for those things. Same thing is said in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name and that you have ministered to the saints. And do minister. These are about Christians ministering to other Christians. And it's saying when you do this, God is not unjust to forget. He is going to reward every single time. We might forget what we do for somebody. And I think that's part of what is shown in Matthew 25. Those who were righteous, they did this and they did that and they did this. And they forgot themselves they had done these things. But Jesus did not forget, and he rewarded them. And so when we are friends to each other, even when we do little things, God does not forget those things. He will reward us for those things. Three, the hardest part of true friendship. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Your best friend is somebody who sometimes will tell you the truth about your sin. Sometimes he will tell you, this is what you did wrong. Or this is where you are wrong. And our first reaction to that is sometimes to say, no, you're wrong, and to fight him. And that's why this person is a true friend, because they care enough about you to say these kind of things to you, to bring you to what is right. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but notice also it says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Think of what happened to Jesus at the end of, near the end of his life. How did Judas make it known who was Jesus when they were all in the dark? He went and he kissed him as a friend would do. And that was a kiss of betrayal. And oftentimes, people who seem to be friends are people who just want to get something from us, just want to maybe even destroy us. Your best friend will tell you the truth, even about your sin. This is what Jesus was doing in John 8:44 and 45, when he said to the Jews, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. These are the same people, if you read that passage in John, in verse 30, when Jesus was talking about God being his father, they all believed him. But as soon as he started talking to them about their sin, they decided, he's no good. He's the one that's wrong. We're not sinners. We don't need that kind of help. And they wanted to stone him by the end of the chapter. And he was their best friend at that point. He was telling them they needed to come out from Satan and they needed to be converted. They needed to be changed. They needed to be set free, he says, from sin. If Jesus would have loved sinners in the way sinners define love, he would have never been crucified. This morning I read that passage that's right here in your notes. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before you. If Jesus had been loving towards sinners in the sense that, oh, your sin is wonderful, keep sinning and sinning, they would never have crucified him. The hatred is the hatred of Cain. He hated his brother Abel because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. We are called to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 6, 11 through 14 says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body, till all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to be the measure of the stature of Christ, of the fullness of Christ. False prophets are not friends. Jeremiah 6:14, they've healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Love and sin do not go together at all. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:4, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your Son, our Lord, is our friend. And that we can be friends not just with him, but we can be friends of God. And Father, help us to be friends with you and friends to each other. Help us to love one another and help us to do this in a way that honors you and in a way that really helps each as we seek to help each other. Father, there's many things that are involved in being friends. And we pray that we would be that to each other, biblical type friends. Those who speak the truth, those who would suffer or die for one another, those who would sacrifice or do those humble tasks that sometimes friends do, and we pray that we would be like that. Help us, Lord, to be that towards each other, and help us to be that way in all we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.